perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and this is Young Catholics Respond, no matter how you're listening or where you are listening. I am grateful that you have joined us today for this episode. Today, my guest is Steve Picorni, and Steve, like many young men, was exposed to pornography at a very young age and struggled with pornography addiction for many, many years before he encountered freedom. He thought that there was no hope at all, but by the grace of God, he has been set free. And he is free indeed and tries to help other men discover their God-given dignity and assist them on their own journey of healing and wholeness. Steve has a master's degree in theology with a specialization in catechetics from Franciscan University of Steubenville, as well as an MTS from St. John Paul II Institute for Marriage and Family Studies. He is married and lives with his family in San Antonio, Texas. So, Steve, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being here on Young Catholics Respond.
You're welcome, and thank you so much, Bill. It's an honor to be with you today.
So, Steve, let's talk a little bit about your personal journey first in this half of the program. As you know, there are so many men struggling out there with pornography, sexual sin. Let's delve into that and really talk about a little bit your personal journey, and then we can talk about that and theology of the body. It's going to be a great conversation.
Absolutely. So I get my journey starts when I was five. My father tried to commit suicide and was put in a nursing home. And growing up without a father played a very big role in kind of the way in which I looked at my life. I didn't like myself. I actually hated myself and wanted to kill myself growing up. Acted out on that. But I would this dearth of a lack of male formation, this lack of seeing my own worth and dignity would play out in trying to find what all of us are looking for is love. And one of the ways in which the world called me was through pornography, which was before was before the internet hit. And in these images, very attracted to them, right? Because there is something beautiful. There's something good, right, that we're looking for here, but it's been obviously twisted. And I was quickly drawn in this, could not say no. And then the internet hits, and with the amount of images and videos, this quickly became a compulsion, something that I could not say no to. I was not free. And I like to use the analogy of like a woman who 30 years after having an abortion, who week after week goes to confession, hearing that she is forgiven but couldn't forgive herself. I thought this would be my cross for the rest of my life. Well, God had other plans and was led to good places like Franciscan, good places like the John Paul II Institute. There have been profound moments of healing and wholeness that have come through and learning, especially that I am loved intimately by our Father in heaven, that I have a Father there who has never abandoned me, who is always walking with me. But also the big piece to this that a lot of people don't talk about in this issue with pornography is I've learned how to see. I've learned how to see the body as God has created us to do that. And so much so that there's been an inoculation that's happened, okay? Because I see pornography every day. It's always it's in our media, in our movies, television, especially on the internet. And if we don't learn how to see, these things can easily take us down, especially when we're talking about the chemicals of the brain. But it's come to a point where I see these things, I know how to look through them, to see them, and to me, they're ridiculous. Like, and there's a sadness that comes over me, not this ravenous lust that used to be there, but the sadness and the desire to want to pray for these people who don't know what they're doing, kind of like what Christ did on the cross, praying for us. So it's been a dramatic time of healing that's happened here. God continues to work on me, but now I take this healing, and we've been doing this with Freedom Coaching at freedom-coaching.net, and I've been working since 2011 with clients, male and female, Catholics, non-Catholics, through a very Catholic lens and ethos to be able to break the power of pornified images forever. And it's a total grace, and I'm honored to be able to share this today.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, I want to talk with you a little bit about the lie of pornography, as you kind of alluded to there. You were talking a little bit about that there's this maybe false beauty in pornography, and looking through that, you know, kind of describe what Satan is doing in the culture with this. I mean, can you kind of identify for us what he's doing? Because, you know, when we put sunlight on the issue, sometimes it's the best disinfectant.
Amen. As I write in my book, it's called Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture, specifically in chapter 4, I talk about how there's an undefining of the meaning of five essential elements of love, sex, marriage, family, and the body. And this undefining is a crucial contextual piece that we've got to get, because if certain of these five elements have an essential meaning, and it's meaning that we need most. Why? Because meaning brings hope. The evil one wants to keep us confused, wants to keep us to not be able to see our dignity and our worth, so that we will lose hope and that we will ultimately despair on one hand, or we'll just plunge ourselves into the created goods and of the world that God has given and treat them as gods. And we see this in a multitude of ways, and pornography is one of those. And so this undefining here means that these things, love, sex, marriage, family, and the body, can mean anything. Well, if they mean anything, in essence, they mean nothing. And this is where meaninglessness comes in here, right? And it is very attractive with what is proposed here, because all that evil one can do is take what God has created, and the old phrase goes, take it and twist it. And so here, what we've been programmed in so many ways, and the good Catholics have been programmed with this notion that the body, sex, nakedness, attraction, and lust are all the same thing. Let that sink in for a moment, because in those, if that's what we believe here, then, you know, on one hand, we may have been raised, you know, fear those things, run away from those elements, because lust is such an evil. And I want to make it very clear, the problem is not the body, sex, attraction, nakedness. The problem is lust, and we've got to go differentiate those. But if we've been taught, programmed one of two ways in many cases. One, either fear attraction, don't plunge into what the truth about that is, or just plunge into the lies, because we're so thirsty for love that we'll go the idea of between dehydrating and dying from not having love versus something that appears to be love, it's better for us to in some of our minds to go there. At least we're trying to quench this, even if it will never actually quench us. So instead, we have to go and untwist those lies, see the goodness again of love, of sex, of marriage, of the body, of nakedness, to see the goodness of these and to realize that our enemy here is lust, and that when we can be programmed to see these things as good through the lens of the divine vision, then lust no longer will hold sway over our hearts.
Right. Yeah. There's a big difference there. And I love how you highlight that for our listeners, because, you know, I think our media, you know, our world just continues to glorify lust. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, you see it in every song, you know, you hear it in every song, you see it in every YouTube video these days. And how do you recapture that beauty? So maybe what is the way that you recapture that? Like how do you reorient the mind to recapture that?
Sure. So first and foremost, we've got to come to knowledge and understanding that we are loved immensely by God, that we are not defined by our attractions, as is so much put off in our culture, right? Especially you'll see this in the same-sex agenda movement, right? That because I feel this, then that's who I am. No, our identity is found in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to reveal that we are beloved sons and daughters of the Most High. Because if we don't believe that we are good, that we are worth saving, then we're going to project this onto other people, right? This whole notion of, especially of master of suspicions. And so this notion that, and because it's, as you just absolutely hit it on the head, that this notion, lust is the cool thing, right? It's everywhere. Without this, most of our movies and television shows and music probably wouldn't exist in the current form that it is, right? And so what has to have first has to this revelation that we are loved. And so this means, and let's get very practical, right? Especially if we're Catholics, right? If we're waiting in the septic tank, we got to come out of that. And we got to go seek mercy. This is where the sacrament of confession is so very powerful in helping us, especially the gift of adoration. The many years I spent going to adoration, seeking for love, wanting him to filter out the lies that I come to believe in my heart about myself. And receiving that is a huge deal. Begging our Father in prayer to say our name, because when we hear our name there, then we hear it means we're part of a relationship. Because many of us are coming from broken families, broken relationships. We don't know how to do this thing. We feel uncomfortable in our own skin about who we really are. But when we can come to know our identity and be secure in that, there's healing that happens. The other element here, talking about learning how to see, and this is a key point, and I'll kind of use this as a jumping off point, a little story. The true story I talk about in my book, a 9-year-old boy goes to a park with his family, and they're doing a picnic, and he finds a quote-unquote gentleman's club ad, and it's two naked women actually on this, and he immediately goes to his older sister, says, "I found a yucky picture." She says, "Go talk to your older brother." He does. The older brother says, "Show it to me." So he does, and the older brother immediately takes it and rips it up and throws it in the garbage. Two very important questions about this, Bill. Number one is, how did the younger brother immediately go to the older sister and say that? And two, how did the older brother go and immediately tear it up? Because for anybody who's been involved with pornography, what are especially in the Western society, we have been taught that that is buried treasure. If we find one, what's our immediate reaction for a lot of us? We hide it. We want to possess it. It's like Gollum in the Ring, my precious. And the reason is we have nothing to compare it with. In most of our lived experiences, we've never learned how to see the body as God has created us to see it. And this is why pornography can easily take us down, because we think, this is what I really want. This is what beauty is. And in truth, it's not. There is something beautiful in there because there's a human person there. But here, we have to say that it's that the person itself is good, but the way in which that person is being exposed is not good. So what's the answer to this? The answer to this is we need to have healthy images, healthy experiences of the body, to see the body as God has created us to do this, right? Because if one of the biggest issues facing the world today is that of body shame. This notion here, we judge ourselves and then we blame ourselves and then we project this onto others. And it's insanity, right, with all the weight loss and all these things. And it's all through an incorrect vision of the body. So one of the things that the church has, which is beautiful, is that of sacred art. Sacred art especially where the body is exposed appropriately. These beautiful images, especially, like, for instance, you can even take some quote-unquote secular art. Well, it's not really, well, in a certain sense, like the David, which Michelangelo sculpted, which is like 5 stories tall, huge. We see the body exposed in a way that's not pornographic. He's fully exposed, but seeing the glory of man fully revealed, in a certain sense, the same that Irenaeus would say it. But then in some of the sacred art, other pieces of sacred art, where Our Lady is breastfeeding Jesus and giving her life here, this is not pornography either. And so we need to be programmed in these kind of images so that when false images are presented to us, guess what? Those false images lose their power because we've seen the real deal, and it's the real deal that we're made for.
Amen. Steve, this is an awesome conversation. We're at the breaking point here, so we got to take a short break, and then when we come back, I want to talk more about the the dignity of the human person, that beauty of it, right after the break. So take a short break here on Young Catholics Respond. Stay tuned. We'll be right back here after these messages.
Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, Our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the Shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, she is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to Our Blessed Mother, please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
Subscribe to the Patchwork Heart Radio Podcast. We are available on the Apple Podcast, Podbean, TuneIn, Stitcher, and AHA Radio mobile apps by searching for Patchwork Heart Radio. You can also visit patchworkheart.podbean.com to subscribe and listen to every episode of Young Catholics Respond, inspirational talks, and other Catholic media content. Thanks for listening and being a part of our heart.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. Today my guest is Steve Pokorny. He is a Catholic author, speaker, and he really focuses in on the dignity of the human person and helping people overcome addiction to pornography and really recognize their worth as a child of God. And as you were talking off the air in between the break here, we were just kind of conversing about the Assumption, which happened yesterday, the Assumption, the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I was reminded when Steve was talking about just the beauty of the human person and the Blessed Virgin Mary's dignity. That's exactly what we experience in the Assumption. Mark Shea, a Catholic apologist as well and an author, talks about that the reason why the Assumption was created as a dogma in the Church, that the Pope said we must believe this about Mary, was because you know, it ratifies a truth about the human body, about our bodies, that they are created by God in the image of God. And if you think about the timing of this, that was done in 1950, the Pope was recognizing what had happened in the previous centuries, World War I and World War II, where especially World War II, where the Holocaust happened, right? And there was all this experimentation and degradation of the human body. And in some way, pornography is like the new Holocaust in today's world, right, Steve?
Very well said.
So
absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I would add in here, I think that's a beautiful point to jump off from, because it's been said that the body is not demeaned too much. It's that it's not appreciated enough. In this whole notion of the assumption, right, the church is making a definitive statement that Mary is assumed body and soul. It's a clearing call of what our great dignity is, and it's all based on the principle of the incarnation, that God, the super spiritual God, takes on human flesh, dwells among us, lives with us, dies in that flesh, and resurrects in the flesh and rises to heaven in the flesh. And right now in the Trinity, there is a human being in the Trinity who is also divine. That should blow our minds just a little bit, which tells about our great dignity, because anytime God does something, we need to pay attention. And if God, in his very nature, takes on human flesh, right? This, the hypostatic union, if you want to go very theologically correct here, body, 100% divine, 100% human, how that all works out, science-wise, we're not exactly sure, but it's a very great truth, which means our bodies and souls are linked forever in a very real sense. Those in hell will have their bodies, that, and it's believed they'll be permanently decaying. Our bodies will be resurrected to a glory that we can't possibly imagine, and that's what the assumption speaks of here. So bring this back to the issue of pornography, right? It's not that the body is bad. The body is so good that we must view the body as an insight into who the person is, to see to truly see the person as a living revelation of the person, but also at the very same moment, a living revelation of the very mystery of God. It's in the creation of man and woman, going back to the book of Genesis, that is a clarion witness to the love that God has for humanity. And it is a bodily love. I mean, think about it. This is what happens at every Mass. The bridegroom gives his body over to the bride so the bride can the bride being the church. Yes, Bill, you got to put on a beautiful white dress and walk around. No, you don't. You are male, right? You are male through and through, but in relation to God, we have a feminine relationship. We propose nothing. We 100% receive, and a woman's body screams this. So in that notion, of that analogy, which is the most perfect of all analogies, that Christ shows up as a bridegroom on the planet, and at every Mass, the in persona Christi, in the body of the priest, being as Christ there, gives his body up so that the bride may receive this love into her, conceive divine love and life, and to bear that divine love and life to the world. This is what is happening here. It's a marital act. This is what the marital act between husband and wife is pointing towards. This is the great dignity and beauty. And most of us, definitely myself included, growing up, never heard a lick of this at a homilies. We never learned any of this going on. So there's a failure of catechesis, but it's a calling for us to reclaim that. So in this whole notion with pornography, there's a lie that's being presented. And it's because the full truth of the body has not been revealed to us. And we must rediscover again how good and how beautiful the body really is. And to use this as a jumping off point in our worship of the incarnate God.
Amen. And, you know, it's just a beautiful way that you highlight that for us, because there is, you know, there are so many lies out there. And as you said, people haven't heard a lick of this, you know? And I think especially our generation, you know, 30-somethings generation is starting to do a better job of getting that out there. But man, it is so hard to do it. And you are doing it. You're doing it really well. I mean, you have, a wonderful book out there, Redeemed Vision, setting the I'm going to butcher the second title, but Redeemed Vision. Go ahead. What's the subtitle?
Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture. Yes, it's a mouthful, but it's definitely worth the read.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's tackling that issue. And then, of course, you're available for speaking engagements and whatnot else, right? This is your ministry. You do this full-time.
I'm very close to full-time. So a couple parts. I work with those involved with pornography, attraction, and compulsion to break them of it. Again, men, an increasing number of women are getting involved with this, so I want to help them, Catholics and non-Catholics, through a very very Catholic ethos and very Catholic vision of this, but then also taking this on the road and being able to bring this out to a wide variety of audiences, but not just the issue of pornography, right? This issue that is inhibiting men and women from seeing their own dignities, that is hurting marriages and families. There's a lot of issues surrounding this. So helping to talk about the meaning of masculinity, meaning of femininity, what is dating all about? So elementary school, all the way up to, you know, older groups of Knights of Columbus, people and their wives. I've done that as well. So it's a wide gambit here, but we're all really thirsting for the truth, and we want to know what that is. And it starts with knowing the dignity and worth of our own human bodies and how much we are loved in a crazy way by God.
Beautiful. So, Steve, if you want to book Steve, it's vlpromotions.com, correct?
Absolutely. There it is. Yeah.
There it is, vlpromotions.com. Have Steve come out to your parish. I know you've been out my way. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see you in person, but I know you've been out my way out in Kenosha out here in Wisconsin. So, I mean, you know, you'll go anywhere. You'll empower people from, you know, little kindergartners all the way up through, 99 years old, which is a beautiful thing.
There you go.
So Steve, thank you so much for taking the time and being here with us and our listeners. We have to have you back on. I encourage everyone to visit his website, which, by the way, is freedom-coaching.net. And again, if you're struggling with this out there, you know, maybe I want to leave you a minute here just to talk to the person struggling with this and, you know, give them a little bit of hope and talk with them just a little bit about, you know, where they are in their life. 'Cause you've been there.
Yeah. So what I would say to those who are struggling with this is why you feel the way you do, why that guilt and shame is happening is because pornography ultimately disintegrates us. It disintegrates us from our body and our soul. But here's the good news. The good news is there's hope that Christ came to truly redeem you. He came to set you free in a way that you are able to feel integrated into who you are, to have peace within yourself, and ultimately peace with others. And he wants to help you to learn how to see as he sees so you can love as he loves.
Beautiful. Steve, thank you again. You are awesome. God bless you. God bless your ministry. And just awesome stuff.
Bill, thank you very much for the honor and blessings on your ministry and all those who are listening today.
All right, well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org. Email info@patchworkheart.org or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Hi, everybody. Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.